Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation for our second hour here on the Envision Radio Networks. One of our more interesting interviews over the last few years was with David Qualls, a former winner at the Royal with his American Dream Barbecue team, and he is a current board member of KCBS. This segment of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can always count on the quality and consistency. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. So now let's go to my interview with David Qualls.
David and his team were reserve champion in the overall to Jack, and their high marks. They got first in the pork and second in the chicken. So, David, welcome to the show.
Howdy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, good, good. It's a great day here in Oklahoma.
I think every day is a good day in Oklahoma. I like Oklahoma a lot, actually.
Great.
Tell us a little bit about your history with the Jack. Is this the first time you've competed or the 10th time or...
This is our third time. We were there in 2014, 2015. We didn't make a draw last year, and we were there this year for 17.
So for David and the American Dream Team, Dream Barbecue Team, I got to say it right if I'm going to say it. What is your give us your overview of the Jack. How is it different from other competitions?
Well, the Jack is very prestigious. It's a brass ring on the merry-go-round of barbecue that everybody looks forward to all year long. You know, it's the prize on top of the prize, obviously, because you have to have won a grand championship in a state championship sanctioned contest, you know, to be eligible for their drawing process.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that everyone looks forward to as not only winning the grand championship contest, but then having a draw, if you will, into the Jack. We've been cooking since 2012, and I think we've had we've been to the Jack three times, all three on auto sevens. You know, so it's meant we won seven grand championships, mm-hmm. and we're an auto qualifier. We never had to go to draw. The 2 years that we have been in the draw, we, you know, obviously hadn't been from Oklahoma. There's a lot of teams in Oklahoma, a lot of contests. So, you know, the odds are very slim of getting in on the drawing. But we've been in three times from automatic invitations.
Three times, that's pretty good in the short time you've been actually doing this.
Yes, we've had a lot of success.
So, tell us, and we're going to get in further segments in this show, we'll get more specific, but kind of give the listeners an idea of your process when you go to something as large and as prestigious as the Jack. How do you get yourself psyched mentally? How do you get your products prepared physically?
Well, the Jack contest to us is no different than any other KCBS contest that we're in. You know you have to bring the best product, whether you're cooking a small local charity event or the Jack Daniel's King of the Smoker or the American Royal, whatever. And so, you know, that process for us is a kind of old hand now that we've cooked as many. It's hard not to get the jitters because you know you're there with teams that are at least grand champions, multiple-time grand champions, Jack winners, you know, nationally known, international teams and stuff. So you've got to not only bring the game you bring every day in the contest, but you've also got to shake the jitters and understand that, yes, I'm sitting next to Tuffy Stone, a Cool Smoke on one side, and I've got, you know, Darren Worth with Iowa Smoky D's and Travis Clark, the Clark crew, two spots down. I'm in the middle of all the heavy hitters here. You can't let that intimidate you. So So you just have to keep a level head on as well, or else, you know, just the stress factor will eat you up.
Did you get the jitters when you first started, the very first time you went?
A little? To be honest with you, the first time we went, I thought I was so outclassed talent-wise that I didn't have a chance to beat them anyway. So I had a great time, you know, and cooked my best game, but knew that the talent curve wasn't there for me. And, of course, on any given day, anybody could win. And so I wasn't as jittery. The guys that get this false sense of hope, they've cooked 10 contests, got lucky, won a grand, won the Jack. Yes, they may have the talent to get there, but they'll also be very nervous, and they may be a little overconfident of where they're at. It's kind of like a Division II basketball player going up to scrimmage against the Lakers. You're not going to beat Kobe through the ball, you know, that kind of thing.
No, that's a pipe dream, if you think it is.
Right. You know, now if Kobe bounces it off of his shoe and you get it, that's great. You know,
yeah,
and that's the luck you're looking for. But no, it's a high intensity contest. But the Jack makes the environment so comfortable for you as a team. You know, they open everybody up with, you know, welcomingly with open arms, and the camaraderie's there. It's not, you know, like it's not like going to the Sam's Nationals where everybody's focused on winning that part of that $200,000 purse or whatever it is for that contest. And I can't talk. I can't concentrate. It's all quiet on Friday afternoon, Friday night. I have got to win to get the big money. It's that environment is not the Jack Daniels.
They also give you product, don't they, to sample their product?
Yes. And I mean, in their goodie bag, yes, they do give you some of that product in your goodie bag. And if you get a call, you even get a little more of that product. Yes.
I've heard that.
Yes.
And I've heard
at least a pint or two.
And it's well received.
Absolutely. Even though it's a dry county, it's well received.
It is well received. I have not been to Lynchburg and that area, but from my understanding, I spent a lot of time up in Kentucky and Dry County up there and Oldham County, and I think it's probably about the same, quite frankly.
Yes, I'm sure, quite sure. It's a real neat little town, and Jack Daniels has done a great job of corporate citizenship wise of keeping that town alive as a viable community and not just a novelty town and not just like a mining town that here your only purpose is to show up and work and make whiskey. It's a beautiful town with a lot of history that everyone's very proud of. And while Jack Daniel is there, it's not the main focus of Lynchburg, Tennessee. The community is, and I think that's really neat.
That is good. We're talking with David Qualls from the American Dream Barbecue Team. How'd you come up with the name?
Dusty Rhodes, a professional wrestler, was a real good friend of mine. And I told him, I said, we're going to cook this barbecue contest in our local town back around 2009, I believe, in just a one-off. And I said, I got to come up with a barbecue name. I think I'm going to be the American Dream Barbecue Team. And he started cracking it. He said, that's cool. He said, put my picture on the logo then. And so that's kind of how that came. And, you know, we were great friends, you know, up until he passed, you know, last year.
Well, that's too bad that he passed, but it's good to have a friend like that. That's for sure.
Oh, he was such a great guy. Totally different fellow off screen than on, you know, but still the same genuine personality.
So we've got a little over a minute left, David, before we go to break. Uh-huh. But I want to, how did you decide to jump into competitive barbecue? I mean, had you been the backyard weekend warrior for many years and then decide, oh hell, I can do this? Or did somebody prompt
Actually,
you?
Kind of yes and no. I kind of alluded to that in the name. We've always, you know, had a smoker and cooked a little backyard, but nothing competitive. But a lady in our community where we live wanted to put on a barbecue contest as a community event. And so she had asked some of us folks, you know, in town, you know, to, can you help us do this and stuff? Well, sure. And we need some teams too. We need some people to kind of be a barbecue team to make sure we have plenty of teams to attract the outside guys coming in and all. And so we said, okay, yeah, we'll cook. I had a cooker big enough to do comp, and it started reading up on it and stuff, but hadn't really followed competitive barbecue. And we did that, I think, 3 years in a row, one contest a year. Mm-hmm. And then in 2012, I told my wife, I said, let's do this. Let's do a few of these like these other guys do. And so we took a class and in the winter and then started cooking. I think we cooked 24 contests that first year and actually got a grand championship and got to go to the American Royal. And it's just, you know, once the bug hits you, you're there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's now, a severe addiction.
Yes, and 185 contests later, we're still doing it.
That a boy. We'll be back here on The Nation with David Qualls from the American Dream Barbecue Team in just a few minutes. Everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation on the Envision Radio Networks. If you want to email us, it's very simple. It's bbq@salempdx.com. You can find us on Facebook at Barbecue Nation with JT. And now back to my interview with David Qualls from KCBS. So, David, what was the biggest thing you learned from your victory at the Jack?
How humbling it was for everybody to just, even folks you don't know, that to come up and treat you like you had just won it yourself, just even though you were reserved. Mm-hmm. And how excited everybody was that you just won a contest. And I think that's really cool.
I think that from the events that I've been around, 99.9% of the people are there. They're happy. They're friendly. They'll help you. They want you to have a good time because they want to have a good time, and
absolutely,
and they want the thing to succeed. So that's
absolutely,
that's a very positive thing about competitive barbecue. So when you were talking about earlier, you had a little smoker in the backyard, and you can, you know, at some point you told your wife you were going to kind of jump into this thing. Did you go to any classes like Travis Clark's class or? Any
Actually,
of those guys?
We did. And it was in February of 2012. And we got married on February 19th. And I told my wife, I said, hey, let's go to Chicago for our anniversary. And of course, she was just, you know, and yes, it's great. And then when it got a little closer, I told her, I said, well, actually, we're right outside of Chicago. We're going to go ahead and take a barbecue class.
Oh, jeez.
And so we went to Scotty Johnson, who had Cancer Sucks Chicago, and he was a former Jack winner. And he put on a class, and the reason why I took his class, it was so far up there, is we at the time had transitioned in, and when we started cooking professionally, you know, like this, we had bought a Cook Shack FEC 100, a pellet cooker, mm-hmm. and that's what Scotty cooked on, and that's what he taught his class around, so it was a good class that worked for us, because we'd never had anything outside of the face, not Facebook would even for us then, but you know, the internet sheets like the sure. Brethren and the other barbecue stuff. And that's how we had learned, you know, before that was just things like that.
You know, it's kind of funny because to me, the pellet grills originated out here on the West Coast, actually where I live, the Traegers did 40 years
right.
ago, you know, like that. And of course now, there's many versions, and there a lot of them are really good like that. But for years, when I would go to Oklahoma, we were talking off the air, David and I were, about some of my connections to Oklahoma, and he lives there and all this. And but when I first started going back there, when I was quite young in the 70s, all the guys were cooking on was either like mesquite wood or lump charcoal. And I had never seen lump charcoal at that point in my life. I'd seen briquettes, but I'd never seen lump charcoal. And so the thing that always interested me about barbecue was, here you had that portion of the country where you live, where they would use stick wood or lump charcoal. We had briquettes and wood out here, but then we got pellets. And then each area is kind of created their own little system, if you will. Now the whole thing's clear across the country, all over the world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's
you know,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, and I had no idea what a pellet cooker was. At the state fair, I'd bought a little electric cook shack smoker. You know, they had a booth at the fair, and we knew we couldn't use an electric in competition because I'd had a wood burner, you know, for the other ones. And so I got onto the cook shack site, and it was just because I had an electric one, saw they had a competition section on their website, and they had these FEC 100s. I didn't know anything. I'd never even heard of a pellet smoker. I knew they had pellet wood stoves for heating.
Mm-hmm.
But in you know, now you can go into, you know, your big box stores and your farm supply stores and see Traegers and Green Mountain Grills and Rectex and Louisiana Grills, all these different companies that make pellets. And, you know, that's what we started out on, which is great because that's one element that when you're learning, you didn't have to have consume your time. And that was the fire management.
Right.
You know, you set that thing on your temperature and you didn't have to worry about, oh, I forgot what I'm doing. I've let my fire go down or my fire's taken off. You know, at least the pellet grills, you know, helped with that bell curve.
Well, and now I know Green Mountain. I don't know about the new Traeger models, but the Green Mountain has an alarm that tells you mm-hmm. when your pellets are starting to get low and you've got like 30 minutes left or 40 minutes left of pellets. But I have one. And the first time I heard it, I thought, what in the hell is that noise? You know? And then I remember, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Jason told me that this alarm will go off. And sure enough, that's what it was.
That's great.
Yeah. You had to go, you know, go fill it up. You didn't want to run out. That's for sure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's good. What's your favorite thing to cook?
You know, it's funny. I've always liked cooking brisket. When we got married in 1987, we got a little old cheap Brinkman smoker as a wedding gift. And that was my first introduction to even into cooking. And back then, you know, you had this thing called the Barbecue Forum, which was kind of an internet sheet a little later into that. And there's a guy named Mike Scrutchfield who supposedly won $10,000 cooking a brisket on a Brinkman, and he had a recipe, and I always liked cooking that, and to this day, I love cooking brisket. You know, everybody says it's the hardest cut of meat to cook, but to me, it's a whole lot more simpler than ribs for me.
I agree with you, because to me, the brisket, as long as you follow the basic premise of, you know, low, slow, I mean, there's a 10 or 15 degree variable in temperature, depending on who you talk to and how they do it. But the variable isn't that much. 10 degrees isn't that much, so to speak.
No.
And
in competition, that window's a lot tighter, though.
But, oh, yeah.
But cooking at the house, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. No, they have that, and like you say, and it's maybe a 5-degree window in competition. But if you do it low and slow like that and just take your time, yeah, you're going to trash a couple of them, I think, when you first start. But you'll get it. You'll probably get it faster than the number of racks of ribs that you ruin. That's for sure.
Of course, you'll think I'm crazy. I cook at 300 degrees. My brisket goes on at 6:15 in the morning, and it's finished by about 10:30 to 11 o'clock.
No, I don't think you're crazy.
I'm a hot and fast cooker now.
I just don't recommend that for people that are just starting to learn.
Oh, absolutely no. You'll do nothing but burn them up, and you've got to cook a gold-grade Wagyu trimmed down, you know, to the size of a shoebox, too, to do that.
Yep, absolutely. You know?
But I used to, there was nothing better than just put that Brinkman on that little smoke area of the thermometer and feed it wood and some water in the pan all night long and just let that thing get all the bark it could get. Gosh, I'm getting hungry for one right now.
There you are.
We'll be back in a few minutes with more David Qualls, who is a competitor and a member of the KCBS board, so please stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Glad to have you back on the Nation. That's Barbecue Nation here on the Envision Radio Networks. This portion of the Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Quality, consistency, and flavor. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
Now let's get back to my interview with David Qualls, a board member of KCBS and a winner at the Royal back in 2017. So, David, where do you go from here?
We're off until the first weekend of December, and we've been invited out to California to cook the King of the Smoker, which is an invitational charity event for the Casey Ball Foundation.
There you go.
Which is a pediatric kidney disease.
Did you change anything in your productions since, go back 5 years when you started to now? The changes that you've made, are they just minor tweaks, or did you ever have a major like epiphany and the light bulb went on and said, I got to do it this way now from now on?
Oh, it's constantly changing, to be honest with you. I mean, barbecue's evolving, the cuts of meat are evolving, what the judges want to see in the boxes change, and you've kind of got to stay on top of it. I tried to go to someone's class every year, and I know it sounds crazy, but you always learn something.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe honestly that sauces change and profiles will change throughout the year. I know, from brisket that I'll start out with a bolder brisket in colder weather, and then a less bolder brisket when it's, you're out there outside of the contest and it's 100 degrees and the judges, have already hit, three categories, their flavor is just popped out like crazy. So I may back off of my finishing dust and stuff on my brisket just simply because those weathers, and mm-hmm. those are just little minute calls. But, we've changed the way we trim meat. We changed our cooking techniques. These things just evolve.
That they do. And that tells me you're a good, savvy competitor because you're paying attention. That's what.
Exactly. You have to if you're going to win. If you just want to go out on Friday night, throw four meats in the deal and say I competed and had a good time, that's great. But if you want to have any success, you have to scout. It's no different than 17 weeks in NFL. You have to scout the weather, what you're doing, who I'm against, what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
I mean, I even watch the judges that are showing up for the contest. What's the age look like? A lot of women, a lot of men, because there are different, flavor profiles that, mm-hmm. that are indicative just to those demographics.
I know Amy Mills, I will tell you this. They tried to get me to come and judge the Jack, but I couldn't do it because I had a previous engagement. But the people there, and I think this was due in part to Artie Davis, tracked me down and wanted me to come back and be one of the celebrity judges or something. I don't know exactly what they had in mind, but they wanted me there. But that's an important statement I think you made, is because you look at some people, if they're older, their appetites aren't as sharp. They're not as, And I'm just talking about volume of food, but the seasoning. I know my mom is 94. She won't eat things that I consider normally seasoned, like she did even mm-hmm. 10 years ago. So I think you've got a point there.
It's a medically proven fact. I think after you're like 50, in your mid-50s, you lose a large portion of the taste buds in your tongue. So, if you see a lot of older judges, you're going to have to go sweeter on your sweet meat and a little saltier on your bold meats, to me, because of they just don't have that taste, mm-hmm. And I saw that with my grandmother. She was 93 years old, but she was eating a piece of candy all the time, because she was hungry for sweets, but just didn't have the taste buds that she was actually, getting satiety.
Yeah. Yeah. So David, you ready to play a little lightning round with us?
Let's go for it.
All right. All right, David Qualls, this is your lightning round. What is the hardest part of barbecue for you personally?
Getting up in the morning to light the fire.
Okay. How long did it take you to learn not to peek under the lid or the hood?
I still haven't learned that.
Do you have a favorite seafood that you like to smoke or barbecue?
Shrimp.
There you go. What barbecue skill took you the longest to master?
Cooking ribs.
Still working on that, are you?
Yes, absolutely.
We all do. Which of these would you rather barbecue? A Thanksgiving turkey, a Yule log, Christmas goose, or the Easter bunny?
Turkey.
Turkey. Yeah, you, well, that's coming up here in a couple of weeks.
See that's that. Right.
What is the best day for David Contain as far as activities away from the grill?
Sunday, Monday.
Okay. And what do you do?
Watch TV, relax, visit.
There you go.
Not at work or not at barbecue.
If you were declared supreme ruler of barbecue for a week, what would you, as the supreme ruler of barbecue, decree?
Oh, Lord, that everyone eats brisket.
There you go.
I love brisket, yeah.
Okay. Do you have a favorite barbecue book?
Actually, I have two or three that I really found that very interesting. Probably Chris Lilly and Myron Mixon's Both Tie.
Mm-hmm. Myron's character, have you ever met him?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. Sure have.
Myron's a character.
Good fella.
Biggest mistake you ever made during a competition?
Turned in brisket when it was actually the pork category time.
Oh, how'd that work out for you?
Well, actually, I got DQ'd in pork, obviously, and then the rep told me he brought the brisket box back, and he said, well, I guess you can save it for another 30 minutes and turn it in again. It was like our second contest ever. So I saved it, turned it in. It still got 10th place, being in a box for 30 minutes.
Okay. Where's the worst place, David, you ever had to cook? Worst place you had to cook?
For friends.
Okay.
Not a contest. There's some contests that are worse than others, but I think they've all been good.
Oh, sure. What's the dumbest thing that you've ever seen done with a grill? Dumbest.
People cooking fish in them and then wanting to try and cook barbecue later.
That's rough. That is rough. What's the worst concert you ever attended?
Oh, gee, that's crazy because I actually own a concert sound company. Probably some jazz concert search.
Yeah. Any names you want to throw out there, or you don't have to?
No. They were just locals, and they were terrible.
Okay.
Most of the national acts I go to, I enjoy music.
Have you ever had to cook in the snow in your underwear?
Yes, but I had on regular pants and everything on top of them.
Okay. You're the first guy that's ever gotten that answer right. I mean, that's a true story. That's the first guy you've ever gotten it right.
We cooked in Columbia, Missouri, and it snowed 8 inches the night before the contest while we were there and still had the contest.
Well, there you go. Fill in the blanks. Liquid smoke should be used for?
Cheap barbecue sauce.
Okay. Your favorite movie?
Tombstone.
Okay. Ford or Chevy?
Both.
Okay. Led Zeppelin or Slim Whitman?
Led Zeppelin.
There you go. Do you have favorite barbecue judges?
No, because I don't know if they're judging my food or not, so I have no idea.
Okay.
My favorites are the guys who score adequately, though.
Well, that's a pretty good and politically correct answer, I guess.
Well, you've got judges. There's a big problem in KCBS that you have some judges that are very low-scoring judges and judges that are super high-scoring judges because there's four different curriculum sets that they've taught these judges with. And so you get a big contest, and you've got that many under the tent, and they've all been taught that, you know, here's your starting and ending point. It turns into a potpourri of scores. You know, there becomes the, quote, tables of death and tables of angels.
I like that. It sounds like it should be something, though, out of a movie about the Spanish Inquisition with Torquemada or something, you know?
There you go.
Yeah, it does that.
Three blind mice.
I've heard that, too, as a horse show judge. Don't forget, if you wish to email us, it's bbq@salempdx.com. We're going to take a break, circle back, and finish the show in just a couple of minutes. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, glad to be with you, and I hope you're having a great weekend and can get a little grill time in there just outside on the patio. Let's get back to one of our classic interviews here on The Nation with David Qualls from the American Dream Barbecue Team.
Who else is on the team with you?
My wife cooks with me, and we're a husband and wife team. Every now and then we have a third or a fourth that come as friends, but it's basically myself and my wife.
And who settles the disputes?
She does.
You're a smart man.
That's right.
You're a smart man. I know the drill. I've been married for almost 30 years now. Where do you think you're going to go with this, David? I mean, you're going to keep going until you win the Jack, the Royal, and the Sam's, the whole thing? Try to go for the Triple Crown, so to speak?
Well, I think anybody would be a fool to believe that that's going to be, a goal, or that's going to be my mission, because obviously being in the gaming industry, the odds of that are slim to none. Where I want to go is to my next contest, have just as much fun as I had this one, and hope that we see some success. But if we don't, we'll go on to the next one. We're doing this as a recreation, not to build a living or create a foundation to open a restaurant off of or something. Anything short of not being disqualified or coming in last place to me is an accomplishment.
There you go.
And that's the way I look at it. I just have to look. I get frustrated, yes. But do I say, okay, we are going to start out 2018, and our goal is to win KCBS Team of the Year and win the American Royal and win the Jack? Those are unrealistic expectations. The old song, High Hopes. It's okay to have high hopes, but be realistically, keep your feet on the ground.
Well, I think that's good advice, and I think that's good for people not only in competitive barbecue, but also in anything you do.
Darren Worth with Iowa Smokies D's, who's one of the winningest guys there is, one of the nicest guys there is, will tell you with a straight face anytime. He says, my only goal is to finish in the top 10. At any contest, and that's a realistic goal right there.
Mm-hmm.
And should he do better, he's happy. Should he do worse, then we saddle up, we ride again, and our goal is to finish top 10 in the next one. That's great advice, and I've took that to heart.
Well, I think you should. I mean, it's great to try to grab the brass ring, but if your head can't hold up, you're not going to be able to ride the brass ring, or grab it, I should say.
That's right.
Like that. What does your wife think of all this? I mean, I know she goes with you and is part of the team and all that, but is she really into it, or does she just tolerate it because you're there?
Well, she'll act like that she doesn't like it. She cooks the chicken. She preps the chicken and decides the seasoning and the sauce and how she wants to do it. And of course, obviously, we scored a perfect 180 in chicken at the Jack, and so she likes it. She's the first one on the bus ready to ride, I guarantee you that.
With that 180, my friend, you will never hear the end of it.
Exactly. Exactly.
I know the drill, David. I know the drill.
And she's had three 180s this year in chicken, so I'm happy for her.
Oh, my God, there'll be no living with her. No, I say that with all deference to her
I agree.
Yeah, no. I've got lots of friends that in the rodeo business and horse show business, when they'd get a perfect score, we'd always say, no living with them now, so.
That's right. That's right.
If there was one thing, and this is going to be my last question to you, David, is there one thing that you would want to do in barbecue or see changed that you haven't seen changed, or you haven't been able to do yet?
Obviously I would like to win a major. Mm-hmm. I would love to win the Jack, win the American Royal, win King of the Smoker. we were 900th of a point off of the grand championship of the Jack this year. There was 0.0912 point differential between us and Grand. That's so super, super close.
Oh, yeah.
That was just almost there. But I'd like to win a major just to say, you know, hey, you won a major. You know, we came in second place team of the year 2 years ago. Obviously, we came in second here at the Jack, which those are things that people only lay in bed at night and dream of anyway. And so, but I'd like to cap off a big one at some time. You know, but that takes a lot of dedication, skill, and luck.
Well, I think you will do that, David. I think you will do that.
Thank you.
David Qualls, thank the American Dream Barbecue Team.
I want to thank all of our affiliates up and down the line for being with us this weekend, and you, the listeners especially. For Dave and Chris, I'm JT, and we'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation right here in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.